any other pro-life activity or media you want to organize. Our team addresses all aspects of stopping abortion and bringing healing after abortion. Go to priestsforlife.org/travel. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, seeing eye to eye. Are you having a hard time seeing eye to eye with someone you care about? We're going to help you get on the same page. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to be.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're going to help you see eye to eye with all the people that you are butting heads with. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to be able to say you can get on the same page with these people and stop fussing and feuding and having all this conflict in your day? Well, we are here to help you do just that and more. Give us a call, 877-573-7825, and tell us, is there someone you care about who you're having a hard time seeing eye to eye with? Are there certain arguments, disagreements, or misunderstandings that are particularly hard for you to resolve with somebody? Are you tired of butting heads with someone over a particular issue? Whatever it is, we got you covered with some new solutions to those old problems. The number, 877-573-7825.
You know, I don't know whether it's the weather in our part of the country, or it's just the fact that it's, you know, midwinter, or it's just the natural state of everything right now, but I have been seeing people, as you're saying, butting heads, being in this state of not seeing eye to eye, not agreeing with each other, everywhere. And I went to one of the kids' activities over the weekend, and this is not judgment, it's just an observation. Every single mom in particular, some of the dads, but all of the moms were just angry and done. And you couldn't help but overhear, you know, arguments with husbands on mobile phones, growling at their kids growling at them. It's right now, I just think there's something going on, and people are having a really hard time finding peace with each other, finding love with each other, getting into rapport with each other. And that is so necessary for our own health and our own well-being and our spiritual openness to God. I think when we're butting heads with somebody, when we're really not in sync with them, it also pushes God away a little bit. Our hearts harden a little, our minds get too cluttered, our nerves get too frayed, and we can't really let God into it as much as we need to. And the whole thing kind of unravels and makes us spiritually, physically, and mentally not as well as we want to be.
Well, and you know, you're pointing to how hard it is to see eye to eye in families, you know, between husbands and wives and parents and kids. But, you know, and I think the culture, though, in general, is just failing to present a good model for how we can disagree with each other and still be respectful toward each other.
I don't think anybody really knows how to.
I mean, I don't see any evidence of it. I mean, you know, we're in a very polarized time where if you disagree with anybody, you are evil. And
everybody disagrees with everybody, it seems like to me.
So it's very hard to get on that place where you can see eye to eye and deal respectfully with those differences that we all have with each other. And if there is someone you care about that you are butting heads with and not sure how to resolve that tension and conflict and disagreement, you know, the good news is there's more you can do besides just agree to disagree. There's more that you can do than just avoid that particular topic. There are ways to break through, and you know, granted, there are some relationships that are not going to be healed this side of heaven. There are some disagreements that are not going to be resolved this side of heaven. But we want to help you do whatever you can to cooperate with that grace and get as far down the road as you are able to, so that we can facilitate greater healing, greater peace, and greater harmony in your life. You know, looking at this from the lens of the theology of the body, we're reminded that it's hard to get along with each other because we are all created as unique and unrepeatable people, which is beautiful in one way, but it presents certain challenges in other ways when, you know, the people that you are around don't see eye to eye with you because they are unique and unrepeatable. So one of the challenges to the idea of building a community of love is learning to negotiate those differences with love and respect. And that's what we're all called to do. You know, building the kingdom of God, we all have a tendency to think means doing some kind of huge heroic thing, right? You know, saving all the poor or creating this great hospital system or education. And that means those things. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying for most of us aren't going to have the opportunity to do some heroic act of Christian service. But for most of us, building the kingdom means healing our relationships, making our relationships with the people that God has placed in our life better, stronger, deeper, more intimate, more generous, right? And a big obstacle to doing that is this whole problem of not seeing eye to eye with people. So what we need to do, of course, is find ways to remember that behind even the most irritating and obnoxious things that people do or think or say is the attempt on their part to meet some need or some positive intention. And I don't say that to excuse bad behavior, but rather to give us an entry point for moving challenging conversations about contentious topics forward. You know, instead of just looking at somebody and saying, you know, you're a jerk because you think or act or say those things, being able to go to them and say, look, it's really hard to know how to take you when you do this or say that, but I'm sure you don't mean anything by it. What do you mean? And if you can start a conversation there, it gives you a way forward because you're respecting that individual as a person instead of just seeing them as a thorn in your side or a pebble in your shoe. If you can learn to respect the intention behind their behavior or their words, if you can see the need or at least ask questions that help you identify the need behind their behavior, then you begin to discover a way to overcome even some of the most irreconcilable differences. And again, granted, not every relationship can be healed this side of heaven, not every disagreement is going to be resolved this side of heaven, but God gives us the grace to do more than we think we can if we just ask Him for it and approach things in a more loving way that acknowledge that people are people, not irritations, walking on two legs. So let's talk about how we can get to that place.
I can hear it now. You don't know my people, Greg.
Exactly. Well, let's give us a call. Let's talk about those people at 877-573-7825. Is there someone you're having a hard time seeing eye to eye with? Certain arguments, disagreements, or misunderstandings that you're having a particularly difficult time resolving? Are you tired of butting heads with that particular person and not sure where to go with it? Well, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's say our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the opportunity to work on our relationships today. We thank you for the grace that you give us to be able to see the goodness and the intentions behind other people's actions and words. More importantly, we ask you for the wisdom to be able to discern those actions and intentions so that we don't end up unnecessarily polarizing conversations. We don't end up unnecessarily seeing other people as the enemy when, in fact, you've placed them in our lives to be a friend and a help and a support. Help us to remember that building your kingdom means building our relationships, healing those hurts, and responding more compassionately to those around us so that we can work together to create a community of love that glorifies you in all that we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
So we are talking with you today about seeing eye to eye and the challenge of overcoming those situations where you don't see eye to eye with somebody that you care about. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ed, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
Hey there, Ed. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today, sir?
Ed? You mean Chris?
Ed, are you the...
Oh, well, it says Ed on the board, but if you're Chris, we're glad to talk with you.
Why did you change your name, Chris? You're confusing me, man.
Oh, we apologize for that. I don't know how he heard that. Maybe it's the ice storm outside his studio window. What can we do for you?
Sorry about that.
So I've got a niece. I'm 64. My niece is 32. We were at my little brother's wife's father's 92nd birthday party the other night, and I was wearing my Make America Great Again hat, and my niece saw that and attempted to knock it off of my head, and I deflected her arm, and we had a stare down before my little brother died between us, which is a good thing. But I just decided that I'm not going to go back into that house, so my wife and I left the party, and now I'm. You know, I wrote a letter to my brother and his wife and saying that, you know, she behaved in my eyes like a 7-year-old, and they have the right not to invite me to any other family get together with her side of the family, my little brother's wife's side of the family at all, and I wouldn't mind that. But I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, do you think I'm wrong to take my stand where I stand, or should I be nice to the little itty bitty girl and you know, take off my hat in deference to her wishes? I don't believe that the child should tell the adult how to behave. And
how old is this child, Chris?
This child is 32.
Yeah, she's not a child.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, it's not a simple answer, and here's why. Okay. St. Paul actually speaks to this issue, not whether you wear a certain hat or not, but he talks about how. You know, when it's permissible, for example, to not keep kosher, right, for the Christian, to not keep kosher. But he also talks about how if it's going to give scandal to the people that you're with, this is where the saying, when in Rome do as the Romans do. It comes from St. Paul's writings, okay? So the point is, we have to ask ourselves at all times, how can I be an effective witness for what is true and good and beautiful?
Let's underline the word effective.
You know, because I think I don't have any issue with you wearing whatever you want to wear, Chris. That's not what
I'm
talking
about. And standing for what you believe in, that's not the issue we're talking about.
The question is, how can I be effective in proclaiming what I believe to be true to the audience that I'm speaking to? And how do I avoid giving scandal? In other words, causing unnecessary conflict to the people around me. You know, if my goal is to go in and be provocative and to set people off, well, you know, then I'm committing offenses against charity, regardless of how the truth or the goodness or the beauty of my particular position. But if I'm going in and saying, you know, I have something important to say, and I think I have certain values that are important for me to be able to share, let me look at the best ways to share that and to help my audience be receptive to what I'm hearing. Then you're concerned with charity. This is not a matter of, you know, the little one who happens to be a 32-year-old adult, you know, being disrespectful to the elder.
I mean, she certainly shouldn't have tried to knock your hat off your head. It was handled
offensive.
Badly, but lowering yourself to her level in that situation didn't help the relationship or your message.
So I think that you can say both. You could in the letter that you write, you can say, I was really hurt by the way she approached me. If she wanted to have a conversation with me about it, she could have said, you know, I'm really that really upsets me, and what you're trying to say, I don't understand where you're coming from, and I'd really like to talk to you about it, instead of trying to physically assault me. On the other hand, since I know that it's so provocative in the future, I won't wear it, but I would still like to have a conversation with her about this, because I think that we could try to get to a place where we could understand each other better. That's what your letter should say, not just, you know, taking up this sort of, you know, I've got my back up and how dare you treat me this way sort of a thing. So, you know, yeah, she was absolutely objectively offensive, and this is kind of what we're talking about at the top of the hour, that you know, we live in a culture now where everything has been completely polarized, and people who don't see exactly as you see things are evil.
And people take it as their right to get downright abusive over their opinions.
So I'm sorry that you had to go through that. That was really wrong of her to do that. At the same time, you have an opportunity as the Christian to take the bigger path here. And really, in that letter, say, you know, while it was not okay for her to physically assault me, I am open to having a conversation about this, and I would like to have a respectful discussion with her about how we can see things differently but still be respectful toward each other. And I won't be intentionally provocative by wearing this in the future because I know that it's so scandalous. Again, not because you're hiding your values, but because you're asking yourself in prayer, how can I most effectively communicate my values to this particular person who is in need of hearing this message? All right, Chris? Hopefully that gives you some ways forward. Appreciate the call. Sorry that you went through that, but I'm glad that God's giving you an opportunity to be an instrument of healing and grace instead of just more division and polarization. God bless.
And I know it's really going to take, you know, the virtue of humility for Chris to be able to do this. And he probably, and anybody in that situation, there might be even listeners kind of yelling at their radio right now saying, he shouldn't have to back down. But humility isn't saying, I'm wrong. It's saying, I'm putting myself under Christ, and Christ is leading me to heal the relationships, to represent Him as best I can, not my opinion, not what's going on in the news, but when I pray and I ask God, how do you want me to represent your gospel? How do you want me to represent virtues in my life right now? How do you want me to represent who you are? And he leads us in saying, and I think he is leading Chris, for Chris to call today and say, did I do this right? How do I handle this? That's an act of humility. And to take that step further and be able to say, I am going to put love and relationship first. So then perhaps indeed I can shine a little light on this situation, have a real discussion on this situation. But we have to be careful that we're not idolizing our own opinions, a political stance, a thing that's going on Facebook. Whatever that is, we have to make sure we're asking God first, how do I represent you well in this situation, effectively, as you were saying?
You know, regular listeners to Catholic Radio in particular probably heard about the sin of scandal. But I think a lot of people think that sin of scandal means something that doesn't. The sin of scandal is actually when we conduct ourselves in a manner that is so provocative that it makes it hard for people to hear the truth. Or it causes people to reject the truth, right? And so our job as Christians is not to hide our light under a bushel basket. It's not to pretend that we don't have the truth. It's not to apologize for what we believe is true. It's to behave in a way that is not so provocative or not so upsetting to others that they are either unable to hear the truth or unwilling to hear the truth or reject the truth. And so in whatever we do, we have to ask ourselves, is my approach to sharing the truth helpful and effective, or provocative and polarizing? And based on that, that's how we judge our behavior, not you know, on a particular fashion choice or whatever. What is charity requiring us to do? 877-573-7825. We've got to take a break. But when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the challenge of seeing eye to eye with your loved ones, or just the people that happen to be in your life and you can't get rid of them, so you got to figure out a way to work through it. If you are butting heads with someone you care about or have to be around and you're not sure how to deal with it effectively, we're here to find some faithful, graceful ways to resolve those conflicts. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights right after these messages.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC. Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, in memory of Ted Pastuszka, on the anniversary of his birthday in 1932. Ted is now with his Lord, but he is remembered with love and joy by his wife Irene, their 5 daughters, 17 grandchildren, and 9 great-grandchildren. He prayed and promoted the rosary and was a fantastic guy.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I am Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about seeing eye to eye with the people in your life. Are you butting heads with someone you care about, or at the very least can't get away from, and you're not sure how to resolve that conflict? Well, it's true. There are some relationships that can't be healed this side of heaven, or some issues that can't be resolved this side of heaven. But we want to get you as far down the road as you possibly can and find some graceful ways to manage those conflicts. 877-573-7825.
Well, I just want to issue an invitation to any moms out there who are having a hard time seeing eye to eye with their kids, and you're butting heads with your kids, because over on momfidence.org, I actually just put up a new blog post and podcast yesterday that talks about how we moms sometimes undermine ourselves in working things out with our kids, in getting their compliance and cooperation and obedience. And if you're feeling like you're butting heads with your kids, either now or you ever have or may ever, come on over to momfidence.org. That's momfidence.org to take a look at that and get the support you need. On Instagram and Facebook, it's Momfidence Official. So come on over. If you join us on Instagram, you'll get a little boost and a little encouragement every single day at Momfidence Official. Hopefully that'll give you moms a little extra encouragement and confidence.
But do check out the podcast at momfidence.org. It's going to be really helpful to you and help you feel like you and your kids can get on the same page. Good stuff.
Thank you, darling.
All right. With that, let's go back to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hello, listener in Florida on line one. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I'm wondering if you could give me some advice regarding a friendship that I've had for a little over a year. It's been a few weeks now that we don't speak. I needed to kind of distance myself a bit. I felt that the friendship was causing me a lot of anxiety. I felt that I couldn't live up to her expectations, so to speak. I guess in a sense she was, I felt she was demanding a lot of attention from me, mm-hmm. And that created a lot of anxiety for me, so I distanced myself. It was somewhat creating some problems in my marriage as well. And I guess my question is, I'm wondering if I went about distancing myself the right way. I mean, I was respectful, and I'm not angry, but I
how did you do it?
Something inside of me felt uneasy about the friendship, and I'm just wondering how to reconcile that with God. And
mm-hmm. Well, I agree with Greg. You say you did it respectfully. How did you do it?
Well, I told her after the last incident that happened a couple months ago, I called her and I told her, well, you know, I feel that after everything that's happened the past few weeks, that I we need to take a little break from this friendship. It's causing me a lot of stress. I'm crying. I seem to be upsetting you because I can't live up to all the things you're asking me. As far as calling, and if I can't answer at a certain time, or texting, and I can't text back at a certain time, and I just felt a lot of pressure. So I asked for distance, and she didn't take that very well. We haven't spoken now in a few weeks. She stopped calling and texting, but I kind of had to ignore it because it was just creating a lot of anxiety. And I am in therapy because of anxiety, and I felt like this friendship was causing more anxiety, and I thought I needed to let it go. I've sought some spiritual advisement on this, and the person I've spoken to has agreed, but I guess I'm still feeling uneasy. I'm just wondering, did I do the right thing in God's eyes? Am I...
You're praying about it. You're getting proper counsel, and you know, everybody that you're talking to is supporting you in what you're doing. So I mean, you're walking the steps of discernment that you need to walk. You know, Saint Ignatius of Loyola talks about the importance of if we're going to discern God's will, first of all we need to be praying about it, and second of all we need to be seeking good, faithful, mature Christian counsel. And you're doing both of those things, and you need to kind of stand on that. The anxiety that you're feeling, I suspect, is coming from this tendency that you might have as more of an anxious person to believe that it's always your fault when something is going wrong, even when it's not your fault.
Which is something you really want to take to your therapist and say, hey, I really think that this situation has pinpointed this for me. Can you give me some ways to view that differently so this doesn't plague me?
And what I think that it's pointing to is what might be referred to as an anxious attachment style, which is the style of relationship that a person has where they do tend to believe that relationship problems are their fault even when it's not their fault. So if somebody's treating them poorly, and they didn't do anything to cause that, they tend to think that I must have done something, you know, because this person's treating me poorly, and they wouldn't be treating me poorly if I wasn't bad somehow, even when they weren't. So there's a good book called Attachments by Tim Clinton that I do recommend that can be helpful for understanding that and beginning to get a handle on it. Talk it over with your counselor. But I can tell you that you've done everything that a Christian is obliged to do in discerning God's will by seeking his will directly and seeking consultation with a good, faithful Christians and mentors that can help support you in your decisions. So, you know, keep working on that. And if there's more we can do to support you in overcoming the anxiety, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, including checking out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Back after this.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
As I tucked my daughter in for the night, I looked at her and said, guess what? And she replied, I know, you love me. You tell me that every day, Mom. Those words never really flowed out of my mouth easily to anyone until I had a child. The reality is, there isn't anything more important to God than to love him and each other. Since having a child, those three little words come out of my mouth much more easily, daily and throughout the day to various people. We are spiritual beings in human bodies created by God to love. You just have to read scripture to know that's true. And Jeremiah, God has said, I have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. We're called to even love our enemies. Read about that in the Gospels. Love, it's what God has created us to do and to be. Yet for so many of us, it is so hard to even say, I love you. This has been a Christ-Centered Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. When you have conflict with your spouse, how do you react? All couples have disagreements, but your reaction to that conflict can be the difference between a happy and an unhappy marriage. Here are two common relationship-killing habits to avoid. Number one is expecting your spouse to read your mind. This easily leads to negative communication and anger that escalates the conflict unnecessarily. Take the time to identify this in yourself. Verbalize your thoughts. The second relationship-killing habit, withdrawing from the conversation when your spouse complains or criticizing. This could be a sign that you're bored or apathetic toward your spouse's feelings. A better approach would be to participate in the conversation, making sure your spouse feels heard. Gain mastery over these two relationship-killing habits, and you'll be one step closer to living a truly exceptional marriage. For more tips on how you can effectively resolve conflict in your marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Seeing Eye to Eye. If you're having a hard time getting on the same page with someone you care about, if you're tired of butting heads with the people around you, and you're looking for some more peace and healing in your relationships, well, we got you covered. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Norma, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Norma. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I am trying to get help. My sister and I cannot see eye to eye. It's been going for years. But my biggest problem is my father had a stroke now. And she's 87. My mom is 80. She's losing her sight, so my parents need our help. Mm-hmm. But we don't seem to see eye to eye in how to take care of them. So
where's the breakdown, Norma? Where are things falling apart for you?
So if I, pretty much anything I do, she thinks is wrong. If I choose a doctor, that's the wrong doctor. If I choose a therapist, that's the wrong therapist. So we have to take turns taking care of my parents because we don't live there. So whenever I go and I do something, then when it's her turn, she goes and undoes everything I did to kind of prove that it was not the right thing. And sometimes it's the right thing, but she still fights it. So that's, A, my parents seeing the siblings fight is not good for them. B, instead of my father moving on with his care, is, you know, we go back instead of going forward. So I don't know whether I should just let go and let her take care of them and just say, you take the reins. But then she uses this and tells my parents, I'm abandoning them. So I don't know what to do.
Well, let me ask you this. You said your mom's losing her sight, but is she mentally capable at this point?
Yes.
Okay, so she needs to be the primary decision maker here as much as possible because she's still his wife. And you're absolutely right. The two of you fighting about this is probably really going to, you know, degrade her capability to handle all of this and her ability to, you know, get on with her life with her husband as best they can right now.
So have you talked to your mom about this and said, look, you know, here are the choices. You know, we can keep doing what we're doing, which really doesn't seem to be working for any of us. Or I suppose I could defer to my sister, but she's going to come to you and say I'm abandoning you. What would you like to have happen here? And have you talked to your mom directly about that?
I have talked to my mom, but the problem is my sister has convinced my mom that she is not capable of making her own choices. So I keep telling my mom, before my dad had the stroke, they were able to live alone, and she was fine. And, you know, she's still sound. Nothing has happened to her. It should be her decision. But I think the fear of making the wrong choice, you know, something that I think everything stems from.
Right, but I'm asking specifically, have you asked her about the conflict between you, how she wants you to handle the conflict between you and your sister, and actually saying to her, so we could keep doing what we're doing here, where I come in and do one thing, and then, you know, your other daughter comes in and does something else, or I could, out of respect for you and the whole situation, just defer to her, what would you prefer?
Because if she does that...
And she said, I don't want you to go, but at the same time, yeah, she doesn't want to make a choice.
Then
I have talked to her, but she
then as long all right, then as long my suggestion to you then would be, as long as your sister is not doing anything that is jeopardizing their health or well-being, I think for their well-being you need to kind of back down a little.
No, that doesn't mean you have to leave, because what your mother said to you is, I don't want you to go. So there is a difference between saying, okay, sis, you know, and you're taking this to Christ and saying, Lord, I want to be the best child I can be to my parents and support them. I'm going to step back from this in terms of providing for their care. Help me to still be able to be present as a loving daughter, but give me the humility to be able to step back and let my sister take the reins on making those decisions.
So that might mean that when you're there, you want to make an appointment with this doctor, but you call your sister first and say, look, this is what makes sense to me. How do you feel about it? Now, it's going to kill you to do that.
It really will. It's really going to be hard.
But as long as she isn't recommending something that is, somehow contrary to your parents' health or well-being, I'm going to ask you to be the bigger person here and defer to your sister on this out of respect for decreasing the conflict around your parents' care. Again, the deciding factor in all of this really needs to be their overall well-being, right. Your mom and dad's overall well-being. And making an appointment with the doctor because in, you know, World War III and the larger family situation isn't working for their good, right? So don't pull out.
Disappear from their lives take yourself out of your parents' lives in their last few remaining days or years. But and don't put yourself in the position where your sister can say, see, she abandoned you. Be there.
Yeah.
Love them. Have tea with them. Bring them cookies. Spend time with them, hold their hand, laugh with them, remember with them, but let your sister make those decisions, because you don't want to bring more strife into their lives right now.
You didn't say this, but reading between the lines, it's pretty clear that the way you presented it to your mom was, who are you going to follow, me or my sister? And your mom's not going to make that kind of choice, right?
Mom can.
Right? So it's up to you to not just polarize this and say, well, fine, sister, you handle it, I'm out of here. Okay, because that's where you play into the whole thing where she then goes back to your mom and says, well, you've abandoned her, because in effect you have. Okay, what we're saying is, be humble enough to say, okay, call up your sister and say, well, look, I'm here. I would like to do this. How does that feel with you? And defer to her on it. And again, that's going to kill you. You're not going to want to do that. But if you're really interested in working for your mom's good instead of trying to figure out who mom loves best, then that's what you're going to do.
Yeah. Right. So be nurturing. Clean the house. Spend time with her. Make copious cups of tea. Hold their hands. Love them. Bombard them with how much you love them. Let your sister do all the heavy lifting on the medical stuff and just try to enjoy your parents in the last few days or years of their lives. And remove yourself from the conflict, but don't remove yourself from your parents.
And if your sister is doing something that's actively not in their best interest, by all means, step in and take over. But don't turn this into a polarized thing where you're fighting for who gets to make these decisions and who gets to be the good kid and get the gold star. You know, God loves you, and He's given you all the gold stars you need.
Right? Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Norma. 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out here with you about one of those situations where you don't see eye to eye. Let's talk with Gene, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Omaha, Nebraska, on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Gene, welcome to Word of Life. What's up?
Yes, good morning. My issue really is with our pastor. Recently, an associate pastor was removed because of a prior case of sexual abuse. Of a minor. Right. Yeah, and of course it's been traumatic. But I'm kind of scandalized because we heard from the pulpit a lot about how it affected our current pastor. Which is understandable. Then we had to read a letter about how it affected the priest who was removed. That was actually inserted into the bulletin, how his life was turned upside down.
So your pastor wrote a letter about the associate pastor and put that in the bulletin? Is that what you're saying?
No, he allowed the associate pastor who had been removed to write a letter to the congregation about how his life had been turned upside down.
And in the midst of that letter, just to get a sense of this, was this purely, hey, my life has been turned upside down from this, or was there any sense of
repentance?
The only thing even approaching that was that he felt shame and a lot of other things.
Okay.
But there was nothing in it about how what he did affected the body of Christ.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It gets even worse. Meanwhile, the pews are just emptying.
Mm-hmm.
And the last homily was, well, we know the scandal in the church has been hard on people and they've just backed off, but beware because you can go to hell.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So what can we help you with?
I can't not say, I have to say something.
Okay.
Now, he's being transferred.
The pastor.
I just hate, yes. And it's probably for the best, but I hate to see him leave on these terms and have nobody ever tell him, like, this is a scandal. You know, what about the congregation? You know, what about people who, you know, they had sons that also served with him? What about us?
No, I have to ask, Jean, why would you not tell him?
Well, because I'm really upset about it, and I don't want to overreact. I just want to hear that I'm not wrong. And the reason why I may be tempted to overreact is because sexual abuse has touched our family. Mm-hmm. I know what it costs psychologically.
Yeah. All the more reason that you should be able to speak out.
Let me say this too. I mean, you're not wrong, Jean. You're absolutely not wrong. The body of Christ, the people in the pews are the ones who really need to be ministered to here. And yes, this affects everybody, and of course this is affecting our priests as well. I would take serious issue with him allowing the associate pastor to put that letter in the bulletin, but that wasn't my call, so and what's done is done. But but as far as you go, I think you absolutely have a right to say something to your pastor now. If you feel that you would not be able to have enough presence of mind to sort of stay calm, especially if he did not receive this well, because it does not sound to me like, at least based on your description of things, that the pastor is really kind of cluing into how hurt the congregation is. And if you don't get the response you're looking for, that could be really hurtful and triggering for you. So if that's your concern, my suggestion to you would be to write this out first. And either send it to him as a letter with your name on it, no anonymous stuff. You know, really just put it out there as charitably and as directly and honestly as you can in a letter. If once you've written it out, you feel that you could go talk to him about it directly, then by all means. But if you're afraid that in the middle of the conversation you'd either get shut down by him or you'd get too choked up emotionally that you wouldn't be able to say what you need to say, then go ahead and present it in a letter. And in the letter, ask for a meeting. Ask for a follow-up time to get together and really talk through it. Don't just write a complaint letter. You know, say, you know, look, I know that you're being transferred, but I really felt in prayer that I needed to say this to you because it doesn't, for whatever reason, seem to be coming across in how you're approaching the congregation about this. And frankly, because of the experience my family has had with sexual abuse, this has really been particularly upsetting for me, and I need to talk through this with you. But I would start by writing that letter as the opening opening invitation to a larger conversation.
And so that you can really collect your thoughts and present them reasonably, I would encourage you to send a copy of this letter to the bishop with a note saying, this is the dialogue I am trying to open with our pastor. I'm seeing how much our parish is hurting. I'm seeing how it's dissolving because this is not being handled in a way that speaks to reconciliation and repentance and invitation to the Eucharist. It's just kind of a slap on the wrist.
I'm just going to give a little qualifier on that. I'm going to, and I apologize for sickening her. I would send that letter only if your initial letter to the pastor was not well received. Because if you send the copy of the letter to the bishop, he's just going to say, you know, go work it out with your pastor. Okay. But if you go talk to your pastor first and it does not go well, then you can send a copy of the letter to the bishop and say, look, this is what I've been trying to do and this is what happened.
And I think that's a very wise thing to say. My encouragement in doing this, especially if it doesn't go well, is that he's being transferred to another parish. And he needs to understand how the way he's trying to handle this is meeting the people in the pews so that this isn't something that he takes from place to place to place with this kind of, you know, cold handling of the whole thing. Gene, I'd also really encourage you to be listening every afternoon to Cresta in the Afternoon on your local radio station. Al is doing a magnificent job in helping the laity figure out how to handle this scandal, how to be present and life-giving in their own parishes, in their own diocese, and in the church at large. I think you're going to find a lot of encouragement, a lot of answers on his show, as well as many shows on your local Catholic radio station. But he's really speaking to this almost on a daily basis because the church is, the laity and the church are hurting, but we can also be motivated to heal.
Yeah, and I think this is a, you know, in a very unfortunate kind of way, an opportunity for the laity to become activated and to take on a new, but appropriate, but new role in the church where we are discovering our voice and how to express that voice in an appropriate way that, you know, the theologian Hans von Balthasar. Sorry. I can say it. Give me a break.
Almost good.
Yeah. Anyway, Hans von Balthasar talked about the Church of Mary and the Church of Peter. Okay. The Church of Peter is the clergy and the Church of Mary is us. And in the relationship between the Church of Mary and the Church of Peter, there are appropriate ways to exercise authority for both. Okay. Unfortunately, the Marian Church has not really developed its sense of appropriate authority in the church. And so this is a moment for us to figure out how to do that. And your conversation with your pastor is one step in the direction of all of us as the Church of Mary, figuring out how do we work with the Church of Peter to hold each other accountable so that we can all become everything that God created us to be.
Well, I think that those of us in the laity who are hurting so badly and are so wounded right now, we need to accept this as a very badly given invitation, maybe not badly given by God, but by all who have perpetrated scandal here, but an invitation to really learn what our church teaches on human sexuality, on holiness, on the history of all church teaching, and begin to own it, to begin to cherish it, and to begin to stand up for what we cherish. And so really not just depending on, well, these people say that it's this, but really saying, God, lead me to understand who you are, what the church is really there for, who you are in the Eucharist. Help us to heal our church by knowing you and your church better. That's what the invitation to healing is here. So, Gene, follow your instinct. Follow Greg's advice. Write this out first, since you're feeling really emotionally overwrought by it, but don't back down from it and let it go. I think that's something you're going to regret for the rest of your life if he leaves your parish and you haven't had a chance to at least enlighten him in some way.
All right, thanks for the call, Gene. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the challenge of seeing eye to eye with the people that are in your life. Let's talk it out. If you are butting heads with someone and kind of tired of doing it, we're here to help you find some graceful ways forward. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
After President Trump declared U.S. support for the opposition in Venezuela, Pink Floyd's Roger Waters accused him of trying to destroy Venezuela's democracy. But Waters isn't the only one to extol the virtues of a socialist paradise, which is becoming increasingly popular with young people in the West. Why? We talk with Dr. Paul Kengor.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio. Food for the Journey's Sister Ann Shields on the struggles of compromising that leads to a failure of growing with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, you really can make decisions that bring clarity. don't just live with the status quo. Don't just say, well, this is the kind of person I am. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. It's fine to say that. But so many of us, I think, feel like, well, this is the way I've always been, or this is my personality, or whatever. To excuse ourselves from confronting, am I really following the Lord, or do I have my feet in two different camps, the world and God, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth? Do I have my two feet in one place, or am I straddling? And if I'm straddling, you're always going to compromise. You're always going to try to find a way through that salves your conscience, but in fact, you're trying to serve two masters. And it won't work. So I want to urge you to take a look. Don't just listen to these readings and say, oh, I should think about this sometime. Think about it today.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey. Weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about the struggle to see eye to eye with the people in your life. Are you butting heads with someone you care about? Tired of dealing with that particular disagreement or misunderstanding or argument that just keeps going around and around without any end in sight? We're here to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling to see if you can help me to look eye to eye to my husband. We had a problem over the weekend. The problem has been for many years, but we got to the point that it was a volcano exploded. So this past weekend, my 18-year-old will turn 18 on Friday, and I have another one, 11, which is going to turn 12 this month as well. And we have a plan to make a party, but my husband came home on Friday night, very aggressive, just a few words that I told him, not yelling because the girls were at school next day, and he got really angry, and he said the princess, they have school, so he can talk, blah, 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 and then all these arguments start, and my daughter get up and tell him to, we're using wrong words, but she say, be quiet, leave it, because we have school, but she's been...
So, Maria, I need to jump in because we've only got 3 minutes before they play us out of here. Okay. So what it says on the board here is that your daughter, I'm assuming the older one, the 17-year-old, ended up having to call the police. Your husband was taken away, and now he's in jail. And you're not sure what to do now.
I paid the lawyer already for him to get up because I know this is a really bad problem that he have with anger management, and I don't want him. He don't deserve that to be there.
But yeah, he does. I know that he absolutely does. Problem. Yeah, no, I wish you hadn't gotten a lawyer to get him out. He needs to sit in jail and really reflect on his behavior, because if he's going to be that way, he's not being the father his daughters deserve or the husband that you deserve. But he's out
or,
now.
You know what? I'm going to add to this. The man that he deserves to be, the son of God he deserves to be. He's selling you and the girls short for sure, but he's also doing real damage to himself. He deserves better. And God can really use that time that he is in jail to wake him up and make him realize something needs to change. And if you come in and make him comfortable in that and somehow say, oh, it's okay, honey, we'll rescue this for you from this, it's not really that bad, you're going to undermine and close the door on the grace that God can really provide through this experience for him.
But he's out now, so the question is, what do you do now? The most important thing for you to do is to address your tendency to codependency. You've bought into the idea that rescuing somebody is the same thing as loving them, and it's not. Loving somebody means working for their good. And in the case of somebody who is abusively angry, allowing them to experience the consequences of their actions so they can be brought to their knees and ask God for help and be willing to accept the help that's available, that is what is working for his good. So I need you to get to Al-Anon right away. Al-Anon is a group for people who have a loved one who is struggling with an alcohol or drug addiction. I want you to go to Al-Anon and start learning how to be on top of this codependency that is causing you to undermine your husband's recovery. Your children deserve parents, and right now they don't have them. You know, I know that's hard to hear, but your husband is an angry, abusive alcoholic, and you're codependent, and you can't protect your kids from him because you're too busy rescuing your husband. They deserve a mom and a dad, and in order to get that mom and dad, you're going to have to be a whole lot stronger than you are right now. So going to Al-Anon is going to be an important step, getting individual therapy to learn how to set appropriate limits with your husband, and also making sure that that lawyer that you got is not just working to get your husband off, but getting your husband ordered into treatment so that he can get the appropriate anger management that he needs to be a healthy, godly man. Maria, I pray that you and your family will have the courage to hold your husband accountable for his behavior so that he can be the husband that you deserve, the father that your daughters deserve, the man that God needs him to be. And your job in all of this is holding his feet to the fire so that he can experience the consequences of his actions and be brought to his knees and ask for the help that he needs to be who God is calling him to be through all of this. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for being with us. And if you are struggling to see eye to eye with someone in your life, we are here to help. Check out the resources that we have for you available at CatholicCounselors.com, including all the books we mentioned on today's program, especially God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor over the telephone to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live.
To More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We'll keep you closely connected to the faith with the latest from Rome, the front lines of the pro-life movement, and we'll also take a look at other crucial issues facing you and your family and our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On the next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo presents a pair of men's conference talks. Meeting him for the first time in all over again.